Well, this morning we're hearing from Aaron Carlson, who is a graduate of Barclay College. And he's youth pastor at Bethel Friends in Hugoton, where some people here are from. And this is with the Keepers of the Vision series that we've been doing. We had Mark Tucker and Scott Morin and some others come and share. And so today we're going to hear from Aaron. And Barry already prayed for you, so I'm going to let you go ahead.
The first stuff I was going to share, he kind of already shared. But if you don't know me, I'm Nathaniel and Amanda's brother. And so I don't want to be redundant, but I grew up in Rock Springs, Wyoming, and I just graduated in May of 06. And I've been at Bethel. How many here even know where Hugoton is? So almost everyone. How many have been there? Whoa. Okay. Wow. That's where I've been for the last year and a half. And I really like the idea of graduates coming back and sharing about their experience, because maybe it happened while I was here, but I don't remember it happening while I was here. I don't remember sitting like where you're at and hearing someone that had just left talk about their experience like right after they left Barclay. And so I'm going to share a couple things today. I'm going to share about like what it was like for me to leave Barclay and arrive at Bethel and adjust, and some things that God taught me in that. And I'm going to share about one lesson that I've learned in ministry, and then something that's on my heart for spiritual life here at Barclay more. Something that God's speaking to me too about, though. When I was at Barclay, I had expectations about what it was going to be like when I left. I wasn't always a youth ministry major, but that's what I majored in. How many people here are youth ministry? Yeah. But there's a few. I think there's more than when I was here. So here's my expectations. I was thinking, as I left Barclay, I thought, I'm going to be a hero. And I want to be pretty vulnerable, so I just got to relax here. Okay. I thought, I want to be a hero. I really did, and I thought about it a lot, if I was honest with myself. I thought, as I leave, I didn't think I was going to go be the best youth pastor right away, but I wanted to do those first years and just do it all just right. I wanted to do it all just right. And I wanted people to look at me and be like, man, Aaron's doing it just right, and be really impressed. And I wanted that. Also, I had all these dreams that went along with this. Dreams about, you know, you sit in class and you talk about these scenarios. Maybe if you're not youth ministry, you still talk about scenarios, psychology, pastoral ministry, whatever, where you're helping people. And so when we talk about those in class, I would have all of my, I'd be really excited talking about, say, helping a kid talking with him about a divorce that his parents are going through, or the deep problems where people are really hurting. I got really excited. And some of that was that I really wanted to care for people. Another part of it was that I wanted to be the hero. And I thought that for me, that was an expectation and a hope and spiritual pride. I thought as I left Barclay, I knew what I'd do. We talked about all these scenarios in class, and I remember thinking, I probably wouldn't have said this, but I thought a lot, I know the best answer here. When you talk, you know how when you're sitting in class and they do these forums or whatever, you have these conversations and you talk about what you think should be done. I always thought my answer was the best. I really did. Some other people would talk, and I'd think, Man, they're awesome. so, and I, as I was going to Bethel, I also really had a heart to help kids. I wanted to come alongside them in their life and in their spiritual life. So I had all that going on. Okay. When I got to Bethel, what I experienced was lots and lots of shock and that shock led even into some hard times and even some depression. I don't think this next part, I never got this. I never heard about this part of life after you leave Barclay. I never thought about it a whole lot. When I went to Bethel, I left all my friends. All of my friends were here. I made some great friendships here. Really close, wonderful friendships. You guys probably have really wonderful friendships here too. Probably some of the friendships here are gonna continue through till you're old. I think some of mine will. But I left all those people. They were all gone. I could email them or call them, but I wasn't around them. And I was living alone, and I started asking these questions like, who am I anymore? Because when you're around people that know you, when you're around people that love you and understand you, they know who you are, and it kind of helps you know who you are. But I started asking, who am I? I don't even really know who I am. And I experienced culture shock. You guys probably had some culture shock, some of you coming here. I know I had culture shock coming here. And even from Haviland, which was west, that way, I think. If from Haviland towards Hugoton, there's some culture shock, just even these different communities. So I experienced some culture shock. And then there's all this new part of life that all of you, some of you are already doing this, but this was new for me. The whole house thing. Cooking for myself. When I was getting ready to go out to Bethel, I was in our kitchen at my house where I grew up, and I was going through the recipes, flipping through them, and I was pulling out the recipes I liked because I'm going to have to cook for myself. And I pulled out all the recipes I liked, and my mom was looking through them, and she's like, Aaron, this won't work. Like, well, what's wrong? I'd picked all desserts. we had to go back and fix it, but that was just one part, one new part of life, cooking for myself, paying bills. All instead of paying like one Barclay bill, give the school a check, I was paying electricity, water, gas, all of it. So that's just one more pressure, one more thing to do. Cleaning, mowing, laundry. Also, I'm engaged now. I don't know where Molly went. I'm not engaged, I'm married now. I'm sorry. I just looked at this and I was thinking too fast. I'm married now, but what I have written is that I was engaged. So also, oh my goodness. Oh. Okay, I'm not engaged, I'm married. But I was engaged, and I was engaged for a year, that first year at Bethel, away from Molly, which was tough. And then I haven't even talked about youth ministry yet. Starting youth ministry, I felt like, I don't know how to do any of this. While I was at Barclay, here, I thought I knew it all, and I got there, and I'm like, whoa, I don't know how to do any of this. I was teaching two or three times a week. Here, you have, in homiletics, how far do you have between sermons? Like,
two or three weeks?
Okay. So that's a big difference. And it was a shock. Trying to deal with wild, crazy kids that I love, but they're pretty wild and crazy sometimes. And so learning how to handle youth structure and youth discipline was a shock. Just trying to get to know, build relationships with 30 kids so that I can have some impact in their spiritual life was hard to know how to do. I felt like I didn't know how to go about that. And so physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of that, it was way different from thinking about it. Thinking about it, it was like, yeah. And then doing it was way different. As I've thought about it, I've compared it to, I was swinging on a swing, and God said, okay, Aaron, jump off. And I'm going to jump off at Bethel. And I thought, okay, I'm going to jump off and do this awesome cannonball because I'm landing in a pool. And it's going to be awesome. And everyone's going to watch me do this and really be impressed. And what I didn't realize is it hurts when you're in cannonball position and landing on hard ground. I was guessing ahead of God. There were two things going on. I was guessing ahead of God, and I had a lot of spiritual pride, which, I don't know, maybe you might ask yourself that question. Psalm 62:5, you can find this all throughout the Bible, but I just want to read this. It says, I will wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. And that word hope is hope and expectation. Your hope and your expectation is in him. My hope and my expectation somewhat, as I left, was somewhat in God, but it was also in me. Because I am so wonderful and I got trained so well at Barclay by great professors, I'm going to leave and I'm going to be great. That was some of my expectation. And I had to learn to not guess ahead of God about what it's going to be like, and also to let go of putting any of my expectation or hope in me or my greatness and really hold on to him really tight, which just the newness of having so much new in my experience brought me to a place of having to do that. Also, with the hero moments that I was talking about earlier, where you're with a kid, do you know what I mean by hero moments? Does that make sense? Like, for you, it might, if you're in psychology, there's this moment where you're dealing with a person and you're like, yes, if I could be a part of their life in this way, that would be great. That kind of thing. As I've been able to actually live in some of what I used to think would be wonderful moments, like, for instance, talking with a kid about, I just made out with my girlfriend, and I feel guilty, and I don't know what to do about it, or my grandpa just died, and I prayed that he wouldn't, and I don't understand why it happened, or yesterday, I was thinking about killing myself, and that kind of thing. As I've lived in some of those moments, I've had those experiences being with those kids. I've learned something, and that's that I'm just me. You're at the end of all that moment. You're just you. You're not. After that happens, that thing that you thought would be incredible, you're still just you, and. God might use something that you say, but you realize, like, after those conversations, you have the conversation and you leave, you say, okay, bye, whatever. You realize that if God's going to use this at all, it's going to have to be him. Because, at least I realize this, because I'm really weak. He might use me, but the hero moments are more about God being the hero than me being the hero. I want to give you that perspective from me now. For me, I thought a lot of the hero moments were about me. When I can help someone, it's going to be really great for them, and it's going to boost me. Look at me, I'm a spiritual guru, or something like that. And God's really checked me on that. I'm learning a lot about ministry, but there's one thing I want to talk about that I've learned in ministry, or that's important in ministry. Okay. There's all these possibilities. When you're in class, there's all these things that could happen, and you're thinking about them. You're thinking down the road about the field you want to go into and what you're going to do when you do that. And then when you get there and you actually start doing it, there's a ton to think about. For me, with youth ministry, I was thinking about programming. I want to do my programming really well. I was thinking about my messages with the kids. Are they getting it? Does it make sense? God, am I speaking what you want me to speak? With worship, how are we worshiping God? Are we really worshiping God with the relationships? Are my relationships with these kids really, am I going about it in the right way? The activities that we do, are these the activities that we should do, or are we just wasting time and money? The youth team, what adults in the church should I have help me? I was thinking, there's so many of these things that I was thinking about. And when you leave here, whatever you start doing, you're going to have a ton of things that you're thinking about. It won't be one thing. You're going to be thinking about everything that you learned here and trying to fit that into where you're at. At least that's what I was doing. I had this experience. I was with my kids and we were doing this goofy thing where you say, compare someone in the circle to a piece of candy, and there's like five choices. Jawbreakers, Snickers, M&Ms, I don't remember them all. And so we got to me, and all of the kids get to pick a candy, and they don't say it. They pick their candy first, and then everyone says it. And all my kids called me a jawbreaker at one point. This is, that's really wonderful. Not really. Because they weren't, it wasn't, they were being serious. And it's because I had something to learn. And it was that the most important thing is love. Really. You'll talk about that in class a ton, that love is important. If you can't love people, why are you doing the rest of what you're doing? It won't work. It's silliness. And I had to learn that somewhat the hard way, because I thought that I knew how to love my family and friends. But I thought that I had to create this professional love as a youth pastor. This is my professional love for my youth group kids. And professional love doesn't work. Romans 12:9 says that love must be sincere. And so for me, I had to learn that I need to love these kids with the same love that God has given me to love Nathaniel and Amanda and Eric Linville, wherever he is, and Brad Carpenter and my friends. That same love that I love you guys with, I have to love my youth group kids with, the people that I'm ministering to. And for some reason, I thought that I was loving them with some kind of youth pastor love. I do not know why, but I had to learn that. I don't treat them the same way exactly that I'd treat Nathaniel, but I love them the same way. And so I'd encourage you, as you think about your ministry, sometimes you think about, there's some elements of being professional, like you talk about boundaries and things like that, and I'm not going to say if that's right or wrong, but I had to learn for myself that when I'm loving people, I can't do it in a professional way. I have to do it in a sincere way, which means use the love that God has put in you. Use that with everyone. The the last thing that's on my heart is probably more for the people here who maybe this whole conversation about ministry, you're like, well, I'm not really interested because that's not me. I'm not into ministry. And maybe you even haven't been paying attention. It doesn't look like no one's not paying attention. But when I was here, I was here for 5 years, there was this gap sometimes that happened between the ministry students, if we can call them that, and the non-ministry students. I don't know what Barclay's like right now exactly, but there was a gap a little bit. And for some of my years at Barclay, I wasn't a ministry student. I was a I don't know what I'm majoring in person, or I was a business major. And so I've experienced some of this. I wonder sometimes if at Barclay you can start thinking, God doesn't like me. Maybe if you're honest with yourself, God doesn't like me because I don't measure up to other students. Something like that, where this probably isn't all of us, but it's just really been on my heart that there's some students at Barclay, when you come here and you're around so many people that are preparing for ministry, and you're around so many people that are really, really growing spiritually, and you came here and you feel like, man, I'm not ready to do that, and I'm not really into this ministry thing. And you can start thinking, man, God, I don't really measure up to these other students, and so God must not like me. And you can even, I saw some students do this while I was here, you just kind of turn off spiritually. You're not here for chapel. You're not here for the Bible classes. You're just here to get through. Maybe you're thinking about, this place isn't for me, so I'm going to leave next year, in a few years. And maybe you even start feeling like God and I will probably never be that close because I'll never be like those ministry people. And maybe you even think, I don't want to be like those ministry people. I'm just not, that's not me. I've been having to learn something for myself, and I want to share it with you, and that's God is not comparing you to someone else. He's not doing that. So when you're in your spiritual life, if you're comparing yourself to other people, that's not God's view of you. I want to really encourage you to just let God have you all the way at your pace. Don't turn off spiritually for the people here who might have been thinking, I don't know where you guys are at, but maybe this semester there's some of you that for whatever reason you're like, you're kind of turning off spiritually. You're not into the spiritual part of it. I really want to encourage you to not turn off spiritually and to just take your own pace with God. Don't compare yourself to all these other people that are doing their own thing. They're at their own pace with God. Just take your own pace. He really, really loves you. And maybe he wants to use this, your time at Barclay, to do something totally different than what he's doing in someone else's life. Maybe someone else is getting ready to be a pastor or getting ready to be a youth pastor or whatever. Maybe he wants to use this time at Barclay for you for a totally different reason. That's okay. It can be different for different ones. So that's just really been on my heart. I don't know who that even applies to, but all of this, I just want to read this scripture. That's all I have to share. But this scripture really says it. Psalm 62:5. I wait quietly before God, for my hope and my expectation is in Him. I wait quietly before God as I prepare for ministry because my hope and my expectation is in Him and not myself. I wait quietly before God as I just live in my relationship with Him because my hope and my expectation is in Him and not in how I measure up to other people. Can we just take a minute together to pray that together? God, I just pray that all of us, each one of us in our heart, can come to a place today, just in the new way that we need to wait quietly before you and put all of our hope and all of our expectation in you. Thank you so much for your love, and we want to give all of ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.